This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
كل العلوم سوى القرآن مشغلة إلا الحديث وإلا الفقه في الدين.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على عبد الله ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So we praise Allah Azza wa Jal, we send salat and salam upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family and his companions, and we are continuing with our explanation of Kitab al-Zakah from Bulugh al-Maram. Our next hadith, وَعَنْ عَلِيٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْ أَنَّ الْعَبَّاسَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْ سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في تعجيل صدقته قبل أن تحل فرخص له في ذلك رواه الترمذي والحاكم. Ali رضي الله عنه narrated that Al-Abbas رضي الله عنه asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم about paying his zakah early. And this is what we call mas'alatu ta'jeel, ta'jeel al-zakah, paying the zakah before the time of the zakah is due. And he asked about ta'jeel sadaqatihi, and many times, in fact, in the majority of kitab al-zakah, we've seen that the word sadaqah is used for zakah. Ta'jeel sadaqatihi qabla an tahil, before the hawl, before the year, the 12 Islamic months that we spoke about in the last class, before those 12 Islamic months are complete, paying the zakah before that. فَرَخَّصَ لَهُ فِي ذَلِكَ So the Prophet ﷺ gave him permission to do this. And the hadith is narrated by At-Tirmidhi and Al-Hakim. This is a mas'ala, or an issue that we deal with in fiqh, which is called mas'alatu ta'jeel al-zakah, paying the zakah early. So let's try to, if you like, draft out or draw out the boundaries of this issue. What does it really mean, and where are the scholars agreed and where do they disagree on this issue? So they agree, and there is ijma' upon a particular issue, and that is that there is no ta'jeel qabla nisab. There is no way that a person can pay zakah early until they have reached the threshold for zakah. But if you've been paying attention to the previous classes, is this not a mushkil? Is this not a problem? Is there not a contradiction? Because didn't the Prophet ﷺ say, "Illa an yasha'a rabbuha," unless the owner wants to pay. There is no zakah less than 5 camels unless the owner wants to pay. There is no zakah on silver less than 200 prophetic dirhams unless the owner wants to pay. What does that mean? How do we reconcile with the ijma' that you can't pay zakah early unless you have the nisab, the threshold? And those people don't have the threshold, but the Prophet ﷺ said, إِلَّا إِنْ يَشَاءَ رَبُّهَا, unless the owner wants to pay. So we say that when the owner wants to pay, this is a sadaqah and it's not zakah. It's not zakah. The zakah, the money that is paid, it's a sadaqah from the owner. And it's not officially classed as their zakah on that wealth. What we're talking about here is officially paying zakah, actually saying my obligation for zakah has been lifted from me. I have no zakah to pay because I paid it early. I have no zakah to pay because I paid it early. For this, the condition the scholars put is that it has to reach the threshold. In other words, if you just gave the zakah collector and you had 3 camels and you gave the zakah collector 1 sheep, you didn't reach the 5 camels. You had 3 camels, you gave the zakah collector 1 sheep. You can't then say, my obligation of zakah is gone from me for the whole rest of the year, because you hadn't reached the nisab, you didn't reach the threshold. You didn't reach the threshold. So this issue of paying the zakah early, the condition about which there is consensus on is that you have to have the minimum amount of the zakah to be classed as paying zakah early. If you don't have the minimum amount, you can give zakah, But that zakah will be fi hukmi as-sadaqah. It will be in the ruling of giving sadaqah, and it will not officially count as your official zakah at that time, because you didn't have enough money for it to count as your official zakah. But if you had enough money and your zakah reached the minimum amount and you gave it early, then what is the ruling on this? So the Hanafiyyah and the Shafi'iyyah and the Hanabila, they all held the opinion, and they were the majority in this case, they all held the opinion that it is permissible for a person to give their zakah early if there is a maslaha in that, there is a benefit in it. And ultimately, this is a qa'ida in zakah, it's a principle in zakah, which is the principle of benefit. We're looking at what is going to benefit the poor person. That's our concern. What is going to benefit the poor person? Now, we know zakah goes to particular groups of people. And in theory, zakah should be going to people throughout the year, because people's blocks of money should be reaching the hawl, the 12 months, at different times. And this is one of the things that I personally strongly dislike, is people giving their zakah only in Ramadan. Now, I don't see a harm in that if the zakah is early, if you're giving your zakah early, but people sometimes even are delaying their zakah, and that's not permissible to delay the zakah at all. It's not allowed to delay the zakah. According to the majority of the ulama, you can't hold it and choose when to give it. It's fawran. You have to give it as soon as that reaches that 12, you have to give it that 12 months. Now, what a lot of people do is, because they want to give it in Ramadan, the poor people have plenty in Ramadan. But outside of Ramadan, maybe 6 months after Ramadan, or 7 or 8 months after Ramadan, many of them are suffering because people are not giving their zakah throughout the year. I would say, my advice would be, there is no harm in paying your zakah early in Ramadan, especially if your zakah is due near that time anyway. But you have to look to see that if you're giving your zakah early, that there is a maslaha, there's a benefit to the poor people. Because what about, you're giving your zakah early and you're actually harming the poor people, because you're preventing them from zakah at the time when they really need it. But there are things that happen in certain times. For example, right now, the virus, the coronavirus and everything like that, for sure there's going to be more people needing zakah than normal. And so if people look at this situation and they see the need of the people, and they see people have been affected by this, disproportionate amount of people are in need of zakah, and someone says, I want to give my zakah early, and they have the minimum to give the zakah, like they've reached the threshold, they want to give their zakah early, then this is something beneficial because it benefits the poor people. As for giving in Ramadan, I don't want to discourage it, but I want you to think about it carefully. First of all, delaying your zakah until Ramadan, this is haram, it's forbidden, and it's prohibited in the Sharia of Islam. As for somebody who gives their zakah early in Ramadan, then I would suggest that do this when you see there is a benefit for the poor people. But when you see there is no benefit for the poor people, al-qa'ida fi zakah, the principle in zakah, is that we do what is beneficial for the people who receive it. We do what is beneficial for what we call the beneficiaries of the zakah. That's who we care about. That's what we're looking at right here. What is beneficial for them? And if you look and you see that, let's say 70%, I'm just putting a figure, pretend, 70% of the Muslims' zakah is being paid in Ramadan, then I would suggest this is not in the maslaha of the fuqara. It's not good for the poor people. Because what is happening is a disproportionate amount of zakah is getting paid in Ramadan, and those poor people are suffering in other times in the year, and people are not giving the zakah at the time when it's needed. However, if you want to give your zakah early and it's near to Ramadan, it's not far from the time that it's owed, there is no harm in that. I don't see anything harmful in that, inshallah ta'ala. And I don't want to discourage it. I don't want to tell the Muslims, you know, don't give your zakah in Ramadan. But I just want people to think about what they're doing. Are you giving it in the interest of the poor person to give it in Ramadan? Is that when it's beneficial? Because the asl is, the fundamental principle is what? You give it either hala alayil hawl, when the Islamic year passes, 12 months, Islamic months, that's when you give your zakah. That's when your zakah is due. It's not due in Ramadan. There is no nas, no hadith that zakah is due in Ramadan. Zakah is due either hala alayil hawl, when the Islamic year passes. If it's in the benefit of the poor people for you to give it in Ramadan early, then there's nothing wrong with you giving it early in Ramadan. And particularly an example of giving it early, we spoke about zakah on salary. And we said that really, salaries should be counted separately, right? So what it means is, let's just put a figure on it. Let's just say that here is Abdullah. Abdullah is earning £1,000 every month. And out of that £1,000 every month, Abdullah is saving £200 every month. And we're going to say that the nisab for money, let's just put an imaginary figure. Let's just say £300 is the nisab. Actually, nisab is what we said is 595 grams of silver. But let me just put a figure on it. Let me just say £300. So the first month, Abdullah gets his salary. He puts £200 away and he hasn't reached the nisab. So he can't give his zakah early yet. He can't do anything with it. He hasn't reached the nisab yet, right? The next month, he puts another £200 away. Now he has £400, right? £400. He's reached the nisab. He's reached the threshold for silver. He's reached the threshold. And we said money can be compared to gold or silver, whichever is more beneficial for the poor people, i.e. whichever the threshold is lower. So now Abdullah gives he's got his zakat and he starts his counter. And let's just say that this happened, we're starting at Muharram. So Muharram, he put away £200. Safar, he put away £200. Now in Safar, he counts at the end of Safar, the last day of Safar, he counts that I've gone over the threshold because my salary came, I put my savings aside, I've gone over the threshold. When is that zakah due? That £400, if he doesn't spend anything from it, the zakah, and it stays above the threshold, the zakah is due next Safar at the end of that month. When he gets his salary, that's when it's due. That's because 12 Islamic months has gone by. It's the end of Safar that his zakah is due on that amount. But during the year, Abdullah keeps putting 200 and 200 and 200 and 200 every month into his savings. Now, in the first instance, these amounts are separate. In other words, if you were to actually look at this in a simple kind of way, Abdullah would be paying zakah every 2 months from the following Safar. If he kept saving like that and he never spent it, he would be paying every 2 months. He would be paying it. Because 2 months would go by on his Muharram and Safar. He put 400, now it reached a threshold. 12 months, they pays. Then Muharram, Safar, Rabi' al-Awwal and Rabi' al-Thani go by and he's got another 400 and it counts the threshold, now he saves. And so on. But the problem is that becomes difficult to keep track of and it can be burdensome for people to remember and keep track of it like that, like on a month by month basis. So what some people choose to do, let's just say that Abdullah chooses to make things easy for himself. So what he decides to do instead is that he takes the money from Muharram and Safar and he starts his counter because now he reached the nisab. When it gets to the end of Safar the next year, he pays all of the zakah on all of his savings that he has. So he's paying early. He's paying, we said, Muharram Safar. He's paying Rabi' al-Awwal and Rabi' al-Thani early. Then Jumad al-Ula and Jumad al-Thaniya, he's also paying it early. And all the rest of the months of the year, he's paying them early because the only one that was really due was Safar. Safar was the one that was due. But instead, he's paid all of the money he has in that year, all of his salary. So he's paid it early. And this is what we're talking about here, ta'jil az-zakah. So if he pays early in Ramadan, so he chooses, for example, in that Ramadan, so Safar went by, Muharram Safar, and he had 400. And then Rabi' al-Awwal, Rabi' al-Thani, he had another 400. Now he's got 800. And then Jumada al-Ula and Jumada al-Thaniya went by, and he's got another, so he's now got to 1200. Then came Rajab and Sha'ban, and he put, now he has another 400, so now he's got 1600. And then comes Ramadan, and in Ramadan he decides to give the zakah. Was any of his zakah due? None of it was due, because it wasn't due until the Safar of the following year, and then the Rabi' al-Thani of the following year, and then the Jumada al-Thani of the following year, and then the Sha'ban of the following year. If he was following it strictly, by 12 months go by, reach the Nisab, 12 months go by, if he was following it like that. But since he is paying it early, he gets to Ramadan and he says, okay, what money have I saved up to now? He said, well, I've got, so far I've got, let's say, as an example, I've got £1,800 that I've saved. I'm going to give my zakah on that £1,800 early. That is before it was properly due, because it wasn't due for another 5 months or 6 months, and it wasn't due on that big amount either. All was due was 400, nothing more than that. But what it is he has decided to pay it early, and he chooses to do that in Ramadan because of the increased ajr. Then there's no harm in that. But let him check and make sure that that is what is beneficial for the poor person. Because again, what we see is that we don't want to have a situation where our poor Muslim brothers and sisters eat and are comfortable in Ramadan and are neglected outside of Ramadan. Rather, that's not what Islam calls for. And in that case, he would get more reward by delaying his zakah and paying it early in, let's say, Muharram or Dhul Hijjah or Dhul Qa'dah or whatever, because he gives more time for those poor people, or he looks at what's in their interest. So this is worth bearing in mind when it comes to zakah, since a lot of us give zakah early. A lot of us, we do give zakah early, and the reason we give it early is it's more simple when it comes to salary and money to give your zakah early than it is to give it on time. And giving it on time is a little bit complicated in a way, because generally speaking, we didn't really used to have like this issue of salary and ratib coming like that. It's more like when you talk about zakah, more of your concern is like you receive money at different times during the year and you track that money for 12 months. But when it's coming monthly, it can get a little bit burdensome to track that money all the time and to make sure like that it didn't go above or below that particular amount. And you can definitely do it. It's not impossible. One of the ways you could do it in this day and age is if you have an online banking app that allows you to put money into like set money aside into boxes or vaults, or like a market aside for savings, like not a new account, but just like it allows you to put like a separate money aside. So I have an app like that, which allows me to do that. And if I wanted to, when my money that I had saved reached the nisab, I could put that into a box, into a, what they call a vault, and I could mark the date on it. And then I can see if I take money out of the vault, I can delete it when if it goes below the nisab. Otherwise, I just keep that vault open till the end of the year. And then I check every month, I check the vault to see which vault has the date on it for 1 year. And then I pay the zakah. I could do that today. I could do it on a spreadsheet. The money that I've saved, I could mark it down and then mark the date that the zakah is due and so on and wait. So that is something that you could do. But it isn't as easy as just paying the zakah early and paying it more than what you need, paying a little bit more than what you need. And because zakah is so small and so beneficial, it doesn't really hurt you to do that. Because it's small and it's beneficial. And why I say those two things is, first of all, it's small. It's only a very small amount, typically 2.5%. And secondly, it is beneficial. It's not going to be wasted. It's not going to be used for a haram, like the taxes that we pay all over the world today, where they're just used for things that people don't need, or they're used to for things that don't benefit poor people directly, and so on. So alhamdulillah, it's beneficial and it's easy. So if you pay it early, it's not a problem. So as we said, the majority of the ulama from the Hanafiyyah and the Hanabila and the Shafi'iyyah, they said that it's permissible to give the zakah early. But then they differed. They differed over how many years you are allowed to give zakah in advance. How many years? And they differed in three opinions. One of them, they said that you can only give it for a year. In other words, you can only pay zakah in advance for a year. Anything else you paid in advance, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, it was sadaqah, it was not zakah. Zakah would still be due the following year. And as evidence for this, they said that this hadith of Al-Abbas, he only limited it to this 1 year. He only limited it to this 1 year. The second opinion is the opposite of that. They said there is no limit. Is it no limit? You can pay zakah 5 years in advance, 10 years in advance. It doesn't matter, because the Prophet ﷺ allowed him to pay zakah in advance, and therefore it doesn't matter how many years he pays it in advance. And the second opinion, or the third opinion, sorry, is the opinion that you can only pay in advance for 2 years. And this is the opinion of some of our mashayikh, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned it, and others. And they said the evidence is in some of the narrations of this hadith, he asked the Prophet ﷺ for 2 years. And they said it's not befitting to go beyond what the text says. In other words, stick to the text. Because if the text says 2 years, you can't presume 3 years is okay. You can't just make a presumption that, oh, well, if 2 years is okay, 3 years is okay. You can't make a presumption like that. And Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. I think it's safer. You limit it to 2 years in advance, inshallah, is safer. Because at the end of the day, it's still an obligation upon you. And 2 years in advance is plenty, inshallah. Anything extra you want to give can always be classed as sadaqah. But don't class it as a prepayment on your tax, an early tax payment, an early zakah payment. Don't class it as a prepayment unless it is within a 2 year period. That's a bit safe, just to be safe on the issue of your zakah. Our next hadith, وعن جابر ابن عبد الله رضي الله عنه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال ليس فيما دون خمس أواقم من الورق صدقة وليس فيما دون خمس دون خمس ذود من الإبل صدقة وليس فيما دون خمسة أوسق من التمر صدقة رواه مسلم وله من حديث أبي سعيد ليس فيما دون خمسة أوساق من تمر ولا حب صدقة وأصل حديث أبي سعيد متفق عليه. This issue is the hadith of Jabir and the hadith of Abi Sa'id. In the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is nothing, or there is no sadaqah, there is no zakah, in that which is less than 5 awaq of silver. The awaq, or the uqiyya of silver, is a measure which is 40 prophetic dirhams. 40 times by 5 equals 200. And we know the zakah threshold for silver is 200 prophetic dirhams, which is 595 grams approximately. 595 grams approximately, and that is 5 awaq, or 5 uqiyya, 5 awaq, and it is also equal to 5 times 40 dirhams, which is 200 prophetic dirhams, or 595 grams of silver. As for money, which is what we sometimes, the scholars call flus, meaning al-fils, the money which is neither gold nor silver. It's not minted gold or silver. It could be made of brass, of copper, of nickel, of paper. Then this money, it can be compared to either gold or silver according to which one is most beneficial for the poor people. And at the moment, it's better to compare it to silver because silver is more beneficial to poor people than gold. Since the price of gold is very high, it will mean that very few people can pay zakah. But if we compare it to silver, more people will be able to pay zakah because the threshold will be lower. So whichever the two is the lower price, we go for that. So we're going to compare our money to silver. So our money is also khams awaq. It is five uqiyah or five times 40 prophetic dirhams, which is 200 prophetic dirhams or 595 grams of silver. Let me have a little look today. What is 595 grams of silver worth? So if we have a look at, usually they measure it in ounces. So it's 21 ounces of silver. So we can have 1 ounce of silver in Great British pounds. Let's see what it's worth today. So right now, it is worth £12.46 for an ounce. So we can do 21 times by 21 times by £12.46 is £261.66 as of the price today, approximately. £261.66. That would be the threshold of money today, as it stands today, as according to the price of silver in comparison to British pounds today. So you can see roughly the threshold we're talking about. If we made it gold, it would come to, as we said, 85 grams, which is three ounces of gold. Just to see the difference in price, an ounce of gold today in GBP is, or we can do it by gram, is £43.85 for a gram. Times that by 85 grams, and it gives us £3,727. Look at the difference. If we compare our money to silver, then we only need to have £260 of savings. If we compare our money to gold, we need to have £3,700 of savings. Which one is more likely to benefit the poor people? For sure, the lower number is going to be more beneficial. And Islamically, there isn't a reason to prefer one over the other. Because money in the time of the Prophet ﷺ was al-dhahab wal-fidda. It was gold and silver. And our money could be compared to gold, our filth, our money, which is neither gold or silver. It could be compared to gold and it could be compared to silver. So we don't have an Islamic reason to prefer one or the other except the qa'idah of مَفِيهِ الْمَصْلَحَ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ, what is beneficial for the poor people. And so we go with the lower amount, and that is the threshold for silver. So we say that if you have savings of £260 or above as of today, then you need to start counting your 12 Islamic months. If it goes below that amount, you can stop the counter and wait for it to go above and start again. If it stays above that amount, then you should pay the zakah on that when the 12 Islamic months passes, or before that if you wish to pay early, like in the hadith of Ali from Al-Abbas. Also in the hadith of Ali from Al-Abbas, there is a little fa'idah I wanted to mention, a little benefit that I wanted to mention, and that is the benefit of the Sahaba narrating from each other. So there is no, you know, this is something which is normal among the Sahaba. And here, it's not clear if Ali radiallahu anhu witnessed, it appears from the hadith that he witnessed this. He witnessed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answer. But whether he witnessed him answer or whether he heard it from Al-Abbas makes no difference to us. The two are the same in our eyes because all of the Sahaba are reliable. So we're not concerned if some of them narrate from others and some of them tell hadith about things that they weren't personally there for, but they received that knowledge from another Sahabi. There is no problem in that. And the Sahaba, all of them, are at the highest level of trustworthiness. And it's enough of a proof that we would accept trustworthiness from a narrator because an Imam of Islam praised him. Like Imam Ahmad said, ثِقَةٌ ثَبْتٌ. He's reliable and trustworthy. We would accept that narrator because Imam Ahmad said about him he's trustworthy. So how about the one that Allah said about them they're trustworthy? If Allah said they are trustworthy, we don't need to worry about their state, and we don't need to worry about their memorization, and their, you know, we don't need to worry about them narrating from each other, because Allah Azza wa Jal testified to the trustworthiness and the deep commitment that they had and righteousness that they had towards Islam and their commitment to preserving the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. This is known to us from the Quran and from the statement of the Prophet ﷺ. So we don't need to worry about the Sahaba narrating from one another. However, it does appear from this first hadith that Ali radiallahu anhu, seems like he heard this or he witnessed this from Al-Abbas. But it might be that Al-Abbas told him about it, and to us in the science of hadith, we don't really need to distinguish between those two situations. And it answers a question a lot of people have: how can Abu Huraira narrate things about Islam that happened before he became Muslim? How can Aisha radiallahu anha narrate what happened about Bad al-Wahi, how the revelation began to the Prophet ﷺ, when Aisha radiallahu anha was not born at that time? So how could she narrate a hadith about something that happened before she was born, or something that happened when she was a baby? How could she narrate that hadith? Very simple, because the Sahaba narrate from one another. Tayyib, this is the issue of silver. Now we continue with the hadith, وَلَيْسَ فِيمَا دُونَ خَمْسِ ذَوْدٍ مِّنَ الْإِبْلِ صَدَقَةً. There is nothing less than 5 ذَوْد. A ذَوْد here just means a number of camels between 3 to 10 or 3 to 9. So a group, let's call it a small group. 5 among a small group of camels. In other words, if you have less than 5 camels, then there is no zakah due upon you, illa yasha rabbuha, unless the person wants to give sadaqah. And here's our new one that we're going to deal with today. وَلَيْسَ فِيمَا دُونَ خَمْسَةِ أَوْسُقٍ مِنَ التَّمْرِ صَدَقَةً. There is nothing less than 5 awsuq of dates, there is no zakah due upon them. And this narrated by Muslim. And in the hadith of Abi Sa'id, which is also in Muslim, there is nothing less than 5 awsaq, and awsuq and awsaq are the same, of dates or grains. Dates or grains. And the original hadith from Abi Sa'id is narrated, the origin of the hadith, or the original part of the hadith, is narrated in Bukhari and Muslim. So here we have this issue of zakah upon what we call al-hubub wa-thimar. Al-hubub wa-thimar. Here, when we talk about al-hubub wa-thimar, we need to be clear about what we are talking about, because this is where it becomes more complicated, and there's some issues that we have to deal with. What is the... We know that zakah is due upon certain grains and certain fruits, kind of fruits. Certain fruits and certain grains, we know that zakah is due upon. However, the problem we have is defining what exactly they are and what exactly they aren't. So let's first of all exclude something. We're going to exclude all fruits and vegetables. We're going to exclude all fruits and vegetables which are not stored. All fruits and vegetables which are not stored, which are eaten up, like they're not kept in long-term storage. They are simply eaten up, like tomatoes and apples, carrots, and, you know, all kinds of fruits and vegetables, melons, and all this kind of stuff that are just eaten up, and they are not like kept in storage. And if you want to think about what is kept in storage, think like dates. Dates are dried and they become dry, and then you keep them in boxes for, you know, a long, long time. Those are the ones that zakah is due upon, broadly speaking. And as for al-hubub, then we're going to come to this in the next hadith, insha'Allah ta'ala, or in a subsequent hadith. But broadly speaking, when it comes to al-hubub, the grains, then there is agreement about some and disagreement about others. There are five, broadly speaking, in which there is agreement. There are five, broadly speaking, in which there is an agreement. The first one is al-qamh, which is wheat. Al-qamh, which is wheat. And also what is mentioned is al-hinta, which is spelt or hulled wheat. So it's also a kind of, it's like a kind of wheat or a derivative of wheat, spelt. And then there is al-sha'ir, which is barley. And there is al-tamr, which are dates. And al-zabib, which are raisins and sultanas, like those sort of variations of dried grapes. These, there is ijma' upon them. There is ijma', there is consensus upon wheat and spelt and barley, dates and raisins. There is consensus upon them. But the opinion that I personally believe to be the most correct, and this is the opinion of the Hanabila in the mashhur of the madhab from them, is that everything which is makirun muddakhir, everything which is measured or was measured at the time of the Prophet ﷺ by volume and is storable, like it can be stored over a long period of time, like it's dry, it's dried and stored, and it's measured or it was measured in the time of the Prophet ﷺ by volume, then it is due zakah upon it. And we're going to give examples of that, inshallah ta'ala, as we go on. But from this, what is the nisab? What's the threshold? So the threshold is 5 awsaq. And a wisq, it is the amount that it is. It is 60 sa'. So you've got to stay with me on this. The awsaq, each one of them is 60 sa'. So in total, if we times 60 by 5, we get the nisab is 300 sa'. Now, can you remember where you've heard a sa' before? Do you remember the sa' is the measurement that we use for zakat al-fitr, zakat al-fitr. The sa' is the measurement of zakat al-fitr. So how much is a sa'? A sa' is 4 mud. Okay, that's not very helpful. A mud is roughly what a grown man would hold in his two hands, like that. That's a mud. A middle size, like not someone with really big hands or really small hands, but an average size person. Now, we actually need to understand that a sa' is a measure of volume, not a measure of weight. And I think the easiest way to think about this, if you think about this, is think about Surah Al-Mutaffifin. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. Allah talked about the Mutaffifin that demand their full measure. And then he said, if they كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ, if they measure by volume or by weight, when they sell to people, they sell them short. So that means that in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there were things that were measured by volume and things that were measured by weight. كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ. Whether they measured it by volume or they measured it by weight. So there are things that were, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, were measured by volume. And there are things measured by weight. Typically today, what do we measure volume in? We measure volume in liters and milliliters, usually. Sometimes we use fluid ounces. And when we measure weight, what do we usually measure weight in? Grams and kilograms. Now, These, all the things we're talking about here, are measures of volume. So really, we should be talking about them in liters, not in kilograms. And if the scholars talk about them in kilograms, then they are talking about it min bab at-taqrib, from the point of just getting near to the amount. Just getting like a rough idea, making it easy for people. Otherwise, the zakatul fitr you give in Ramadan to the poor people is not measured in kilograms or grams or ounces or pounds. It's measured in liters. It's a measure of volume, not a measure of weight. However, the scholars, they measure it in kilograms to make it easy for you. Just to make it simple for people. They give it like, okay, roughly what is it in kilograms? But it's a measure of volume. So what we're talking about here is 300 sa' is a measure of volume, not a measure of weight. And I'm sure you realize that different things have a different volume to weight ratio. So, for example, a sa' of dates is not going to weigh the same as a sa' of raisins, typically. It's not going to weigh exactly the same. A sa' of dates and a sa' of raisins are not going to weigh the same. And a sa' of barley and a sa' of dates are not going to weigh the same, because it's a measure of volume, not a measure of weight. So if you see the ulama mention it in weight, which many of them do, many of them said a sa' is 3 kilograms. But really that is shay'un, it's something taqribi, it's approximate and it's there to help you out. But it's not precise. What is precise is the measure of a sa' in liters. A measure of a sa' in liters. So now we come to the mud. If we know a sa' is 4 mud, if we know that a sa' is 4 mud, then if we know a mud in milliliters, we can learn what a sa' is in liters. So the scholars, they have 2 opinions. I'm not going to say only 2, but we can get a range of opinions between 2 values. That a mud is 500 ml, or that a mud is 750 ml. 500 ml, half a liter, or 750 ml, which is 0.75 of a liter. Now, me personally, I go with the larger number, because in zakah this is safer, and also because when I did some research on it, I felt more confident with it. So me personally, I class a mud as 750 milliliters, which makes a sa' 3 liters. It makes a sa' 3 liters. But some of the scholars, they classed it as 2 liters. So some of them said 2 liters, and the maximum they said is 3 liters. But I personally prefer to go with the larger amount, that the sa' is 3 liters. If the sa' is 3 liters, then the measure at which the zakah is due, the nisab, the threshold, is 900 liters. That would be the nisab. If we go with the smaller amount, because it's more beneficial to the poor people, then the nisab would be 600 liters. And that's safer when we talk about the threshold, to go with the smaller amount. So we say, when we're giving zakah, like zakatul fitr, I measure 3 liters per sa' when I'm giving it. Zakatul fitr. I measure 3 liters per sa'. But when we're talking about the nisab, it's more beneficial for the poor people to go with the smaller number. So we'll say 600 liters based on 2 liters per sa', 600 liters of dates. And you can easily check online volume to weight. How much does, like, for example, if you look at, usually when you see recipes, food recipes from the US, for example, a lot of times they measure in volume instead of weight, right? Like those will tell you, like, put a cup of flour, put a cup of flour. A cup is a measure of volume. It's not a measure of weight. But we know what a cup of flour weighs. Or put half a cup of water. And we know what half a cup of water is in ml. That a cup is 250 ml. And half a cup is 125 ml, and so on. Like, so it's easy for you to convert. For example, you can just Google that dates volume to weight. That if you have dates that fill a liter in size, how much will they weigh? If you have rice that fills a liter in size, how much will it weigh? And as we said, a sa' is either 2 liters or 3 liters according to a difference in what the mud is. Some said 2 liters, some said 3. So for me, if I'm giving it, I give it as in terms of zakat al-fitr, I give it as 3. But if I'm counting it for zakat on al-hubub wa-thimar, on the grains and fruits, then we count it as 2 to be safer. So that would be 600 liters of dates or grains, wheat, rice, and so on. And you can easily find out how many liters of rice makes how much weight. And then you'll see that actually the weights that the ulama give are quite similar, in the sense that you can see that one, you can even just search 1 liter of rice in kilograms, for example. And it says that a liter of rice is approximately 800 grams. So we said that a sa', some of the scholars, they just said count a sa' as 3 kilograms. Actually, if you count a sa' as 3 kilograms, you're giving a bit more, because that's around about 3 kilograms, is around about 4 liters of rice. And you really only need to give 3, but still, the more you give, the better. But in this issue, as we said, the actual measure in terms of the zakat itself is 300 sa', and 300 sa' is approximately 600 liters in volume. And weight-wise, some of the scholars said 900 kilograms, and some of them said more or less than that. And all of that is just approximation to help you to understand, because these were things that were measured and sold in the time of the Prophet ﷺ by volume. They were not sold by weight. And what matters is the time of the Prophet ﷺ. It doesn't matter whether now rice is sold in the kilogram or whether wheat is sold in the kilogram. It only matters that in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, grains and dates and grape raisins were sold by volume, not by weight. So how much do you have to pay? How much zakat do you have to pay? Let's just say I have my 300 sa' of dates. I have a date farm and I collected 300 sa' of dates. How much do I have to pay? For this, we go to our next hadith. وَعَنْ سَالِمِ بْنِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ عَنْ أَبِيهِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْ النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال فيما سقط السماء والعيون أو كان عثري العشر وفيما سقي بالنضح نصف العشر ولأبي داود أو كان بعلا العشر وفيما سقي بالسواني أو النضح نصف العشر. So this hadith, the hadith of Salim ibn Abdullah an Abihi, an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, in that which was watered from the heavens and the springs, from that which is watered from the heavens or the springs, or athariya, by the underground water, by the roots which drink the water from underground sources, there is al-ushr. There is a tenth, that is 10%. There is 10%. So from these grains, and we said the scholars differed over the kinds of grains and the kinds of fruits, there is an agreement upon wheat and spelt and barley and dates and raisins. They are mujma'un alayha, there is ijma' on them. Those things, and we said the correct opinion is every dried fruit like dates or raisins, and every kind of seed or grain, even the seeds which are stored for medicinal reasons, like black seed, black cumin seed, and like habat sauda, all of them, in my opinion, they have zakat due upon them, because they are all fulfill 2 conditions. They are from those things which can be sold by volume, and were sold by volume in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and they're from those things which can be stored for a long term, put in long term storage. And so, if we say that includes, therefore, in my opinion, rice, and it includes, spices, and it includes habat sauda and all of those different kinds of things which are grains, or which were originally grains or fruits that were put into, that can be stored in over a long term. And in any case, these types of things are of two types. There are those which receive water without any further assistance. They receive water without any further assistance. In other words, rainwater, spring water, river water, or their roots drink the water from underground sources like wells or whatever. There is no human effort made to water them. These grains and plants, the zakah due upon them is 10%. And it's the highest percentage of the zakah due, al-ushr, 10%. And as for that which is watered by irrigation, that could be by human irrigation, could be by machinery, could be by an animal like a horse or a cow that irrigates the fields, that pulls machinery along that irrigates or waters the field, or anything, water wheels that draw water up from the wells and they pour the water over the crops. All of these, the zakah due upon them is nisf al-ushr. It's half of 10%, which is 5%. 5%. Because of the effort required, and that's the ease from the Sharia, the effort which is required to irrigate them and water them versus the crops that are not watered or irrigated, they grow from the water which is natural, those have a 10% zakah. And this is what the scholars, they talk about. They talk about those that require mu'na and those which don't require, those which require effort and they require irrigation, and those which don't require it. But what about those plants that are in between, those grains that are in between? The farmer has to water them some of the year, and some of the year he doesn't water them. In other words, there's a rainy season and a dry season. In the dry season, he waters them, and in the rainy season, he doesn't water them. So what is the ruling here? The scholars say if it is 50-50, then 7.5% is paid. And this is a mas'ala in which there is ijma' upon it, that they are paid 50-50, 7.5% for the one that is 50-50. For the one that 6 months of the year they are watered, and 6 months of the year they are from the rain from the sky, then, or the underground rivers or whatever, then this one is 7.5%, the zakah is due upon it. As for when it is when it is 8 months and 4 months, for example, then in this case, the amount that is paid, it depends on what is ghalib, what is predominant. So if it's 8 months of rainwater and 4 months of irrigation, then the zakah due is 10%. If it's 8 months of irrigation and 4 months of rainwater, then the zakah due is 5%. But when it's roughly 50-50, it's half and half, then it's 7.5%. Otherwise, it goes with whichever one is most common, most predominant. That's the one where you either give 10% or you either give 5%. So on crops, dates, and raisins, we have three different levels of zakah: 10%, 5%, and 7.5%. 10% if they don't receive any irrigation, or if the majority is from the rain and the rivers and the springs and wells. 5% if they receive most of their water from irrigation and human effort. And 7.5% if it's 50-50 between the two for those farm produce. And the Prophet ﷺ, in the other hadith, different things were mentioned. mentioned the things which receive, which the roots, which the plants which drink the water from the roots, from the underground water sources, and likewise those which are watered by water wheels or by irrigation, different irrigation methods, and the principle is exactly the same. We're going to cover one or two more hadith, and that's it. Our next hadith عن أبي موسى الأشعري ومعاذ رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لهما لا تأخذ في الصدقة إلا من هذه الأصناف الأربعة الشعير والحنطة والزبيب والتمر رواه الطبراني والحاكم وللدارقطني عن معاذ فأما القثاء والبطيخ والرمان والقصب فقد عفى عنه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وإسناده ضعيف. This hadith is hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari and Mu'adh ibn Jabal that the Prophet ﷺ said to the two of them, don't take from the sadaqah except from these four things, barley and spelt and raisins and dates. And that's narrated by al-Tabarani and al-Hakim. And al-Darqutni narrated from Mu'adh that he said, as for al-Qitha, he said, as for al-Qitha, he said, as for al-qitha, which is the cucumber, or the watermelon, or the pomegranate, and the sugar cane, then the Prophet ﷺ exempted them. And this chain of narration is weak. This chain of narration is a weak chain of narration. So what we say about this hadith is actually we go back to this issue of what should be counted and what shouldn't be counted. As we said, there is no disagreement among the scholars about wheat and spelt and barley and raisins and dates. And those are the ones mentioned in the narration of al-Tabarani, and al-Hinta is a kind of wheat, so it comes under the same ruling. So these are the ones that are mentioned in the narration of al-Tabarani and al-Hakim. However, if we look at this hadith and we say there is a weakness in it, and we know that the principle mentioned about cucumbers and watermelons and pomegranates and sugarcane is correct, because the Prophet ﷺ, we know that the things which are not stored over the long term and they are just like fruits and vegetables that are just plucked and eaten over a short time, they are not, no zakah is due upon them. But the issue is here, should we limit ourselves to these four, or do we take the opinion that it is everything which was measured in the time of the Prophet ﷺ by volume and which is kept for long-term storage? And that appears to be the stronger opinion. And if we look at the authentic ahadith, the Prophet ﷺ, what he mentioned in them, salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi, about these authentic, in the authentic hadith, what he mentioned regarding them is he mentioned the khamsati awsaq, and the awsaq is a measure of volume, meaning that they were measured in volume, and they could be tamar or they could be hab, they could be any kind of grain, and they could be a tamar, and in other narrations a zabib, they could be a raisin or anything which is similar to that. Doesn't matter, anything which is similar to that which is measured by volume or was measured by volume in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is kept in the long-term storage, and that inshallah is enough for the zakah to be due upon it. And that's the opinion of the Hanabila, and I think it is asah al-aqwal, it's the most authentic of the opinions in this regard. As for limiting it only to the wheat and the spelt and the barley and the dates and the raisins, then I don't think that we can find an authentic hadith that limits it in that way. Rather, the authentic ahadith, what seems to be, is that what limits it is that it was measured by volume and that it was storable for a long period of time. And that's why some of our mashayikh, they included in that habbat as-sawda, the black seed, even if it's not for food use, even if it's for medicine use, because it is measured by volume and it is stored for, it can be just kept, like you just put it in a box and just keep it like that. It can be stored like that, it doesn't go bad. And so this is what is the zakah is due upon, and Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. And that's more than enough for that hadith for this time. What we will mention on the issue of the storage is, because this is better for the poor person. The poor person, again, there's no point giving them something which is gonna be, it needs to be used up immediately. Like, that's okay if you give them money, the money equivalent of that, or if you if they are given money and they buy things like that. But if you give them something that can be used up quickly or needs to be used up within a very limited space of time, it's less beneficial for them, because they can't, maybe they received a lot of support in 1 month, but that food all goes out of date. And we see this sometimes in sadaqat. People give sadaqah and then we see food being thrown out and going out of date and stuff like that. So in zakah, the limit is generally towards the foods which are measured by volume and which don't go, and which don't go out of date. And Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. So that's what we mentioned that's what Allah made easy for us to mention in this topic of zakah. We're going to be continuing on the topic of al-hubub al-thimar, the grains and the dates and raisins and things like that. We're going to be talking about that, inshallah ta'ala, in the next lesson as well. And we have some also discussion about jewelry and whether zakah is due upon jewelry or not. That's what Allah is, which I made easy for me to mention, and Allah knows best. Wassalatu wassalam ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Jazakumullah khairan for watching. Please subscribe, share, and you can visit muhammadtim.com.